RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to our English program of the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus and News in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That's our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahman Afus, the headlines. President Joko Widodo ordering Attorney General to save Novel Baswedan. Lawmaker affirmed TPP contravenes Indonesian's constitution. Surabaya City start one-stop integrated services. Now the news in detail. Presidential Special Advisor for Communication John Budi said that President Joko Widodo has ordered Attorney General Muhammad Prasetyo to settle the case entangling Corruption Eradication Commission investigator Novel Baswedan. Speaking at the State Palace in Jakarta on Tuesday, John Budi said that the case has been dragged on for too long, saying that Indonesia should have moved on to the economic development issues. Johan dismissed a rumor saying that a deal had been made among the Attorney General Office, AGO and KPK and the National Police requiring Novel to resign from his position if he wants the investigation to be stopped. Johan explained that President Joko Widodo gave the order when Attorney General Prasetyo and National Police Chief Badrodin Haiti visited the State Palace on Tuesday morning. Chairman of the House Commissioned 6, which oversees state-owned enterprises, Ahmad Hafiz Tohir urged the government to reconsider its plan to join the U.S.-led Trans-Pacific Partnership, TPP, saying that it would violate the Constitution. He said that TPP would force the government to change the status and mission of state-owned enterprises. Speaking in Jakarta on Tuesday, Hafiz said that there is an article in the TPP that requires state-owned companies to be privatized, that is rejected by the House, adding that it would contravene article obliging production entities that are vital and affect the people's lives to be managed by the state. The article underlines that the country's land, waters, and natural resources must be managed by the state and shall be used to greatest benefit of the people. Therefore, he continued, the government must consider the advantages and the disadvantages of joining the TPP. The Surabaya City Service and Investment Coordinating Board, BECI PPN, have started one-stop integrated services to impact, as you say, to impart the public legal certainty about licensing services. Chief of the BECI PPN, Eko Agus Supiadi, said in Surabaya's Jabar on Tuesday that the opening of one-stop integrated services is a follow-up to Surabaya Mayor Regulation No. 2/2016 on one-stop integrated services. Eko added the one-stop integrated services reflect the Surabaya City Government spirit to provide the public with licensing services in a quick, effective and transparent way, as well as give the public legal certainty about licensing services. In addition, the one-stop integrated services are also aimed at ensuring the city residents and investors' rights to primary licensing services, he said. Indonesian National Search and Rescue Agency, Basarnas, has strengthened humanitarian cooperation with neighboring countries. The agency's chief, Bambang Sulistyo, said on Tuesday that humanitarian cooperation has become a significant commitment for all countries. Each country has its own unique potential vulnerability, and it takes a certain method to anticipate it if any disaster happens. According to Bambang, the Indonesian territory mostly consists of waters needed to strengthen facilities and human resources in the marine sector. With the deterioration of situation in Yerusalem, a special Aqsa Mosque area organization of Islamic Cooperation, OIC, will hold an extraordinary summit on Palestine and Al-Quds Al-Sharif, or Jerusalem. This was stated by Director General of Multilateral Affairs of Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry, Ambassador Hasan Klip, in a press statement in Jakarta on Tuesday. He said the emergency situation, namely the difficulty access imposed by Israel authorities for Palestinian Muslims to enter Al-Aqsa Mosque, and security issues for the Muslim community who enter the mosque.
Tujuannya adalah mengingat situasi di Jerusalem, terutama khususnya Al-Aqsa, Masjid Al-Aqsa.
Considering the worrying situation in Jerusalem, Al-Aqsa Mosque in particular, there are two issues, namely the issue of Palestinian Muslim access to enter Al-Aqsa, that is increasingly restricted by the Israeli authorities, and secondly, the security issue on Muslims entering Al-Aqsa. The OIC Extraordinary Summit, which is planned to be held from 6 to 7 of March in Jakarta, invites 56 OIC member countries. In addition, according to Ambassador Hasan, OIC is also planning to invite 4 observers, namely Thailand, Bosnia-Herzegovina, Russia, and Republic Central of Africa. Moreover, the ambassador also mentioned that even it has not been officially decided, the OIC Extraordinary Summit also plans to invite countries, namely United States, Russia, and United Nations, and European Union, as the only eligible peace mechanism process on the Palestinian issue to know the OIC stance against Palestine. In addition to holding the extraordinary OIC summit, Indonesia will also host the 2016 Bali process in March in Bali. Director General of Multilateral of Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry, Ambassador Hasan Klip, said in Jakarta on Tuesday that this year's meeting is hoped at reaching an action-oriented outcome in terms of addressing people smuggling, human trafficking, and other transnational crimes. He explained that expectations based on the past human trafficking influx occur in several countries in 2016.
Ada berbeda dengan KTM atau tingkat pertemuan tingkat menteri Bali proses sebelumnya.
This year's meeting would be different from the last meeting in 2013. This year we hope that there would be an action-oriented outcome considering the human trafficking influx last May. The Bali process should have mechanisms to address such emergency situation.
Satu mekanisme dalam mengaddress apabila terjadi ada emergency situation kemanusiaan seperti yang kemarin terjadi.
Furthermore, Ambassador Hasan explained that there will be two documents as a result of the Bali process meetings, namely document on the meeting summary and document on agreement on concrete measures related to the settlements of human trafficking, people smuggling, and other related transnational crimes. The 2016 Bali process will be conducted from 22nd and 23rd of March 2016. The meeting will be chaired by Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi and Australian Affairs Minister Julia Bishop, and will be attended by 45 member states from all over the world. Archive and documentation of Asian African Conference Bandung from 18 until 24 April 1955 officially became a memory of the World of United National Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization, UNESCO. Indonesia Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi said at the Minister of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta on Tuesday that our site has received a deputy permanent representative of Indonesia to UNESCO, Posi Sulaiman, who has officially delivered the Certificate of International Registered Memory of the World. UNESCO has recognized the archives and documentation of Asian African Conference activity as memory of the world since October 2015. Previously, head of the Asian African Conference Mission, Thomas Ardian Sregal, to Aerial Service in Bandung, West Java, said that currently the archives and documentation, as well as the Asian African Conference Mission at Bandung, had belonged to the world, so many foreign tourists are interested to visit the mission, which is located in Gedung Merdeka. The Asian African Conference history already belongs to the world. That the Asian African Conference document has been accepted by UNESCO as a memory of the world. So, of course, the public are not only in Indonesia but also abroad. They know how important the history of the Asian African Conference is. Therefore, the Asian African Conference Mission becomes one of the tourist attractions that are highly desirable by foreign tourists. Meanwhile, Indonesia Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi is proud of the archive and documentation of Asian African Conference, which became memory of the world of UNESCO. According to Minister Retno, it shows that the archives and documentation of Asian African Conference are an Indonesian cultural heritage that was recognized as a world heritage to be preserved and studied by international community. Memory of the World is a program established by UNESCO in 1992, which aims to preserve the legacy, heritage, and documentaries around the world, as well as raising the awareness of the international community in maintaining the existence of valuable historical heritage. The last item, the Indonesian Retail Association has agreed to start charging 200 rupiah for the use of plastic bag as a container at shopping center to decrease plastic waste. Chairman of the association, Roy Monday, said in a press release received on Tuesday that all modern retail stores will start a trial for the program from February 21st till June, as the Minister of Forestry and Environment has published a letter about controlling plastic waste. Ray Fuder said the association has chosen the fixed date in conjunction with the National Waste Care Day. The organization has suggested to the ministry that the program should be completed in a modest way to support a controlled and smooth implementation across Indonesian regions. He said the government must carry out dissemination and education relating to the policy before it be implemented. However, the association noted that all stakeholders must work together to change the habit of using plastic bags. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, our commentary today entitled U.S. President, Presidential Candidate and Islam. With a spirit to improve the image of the United States that seems less friendly to Islam, U.S. President Barack Obama visited the mosque of the Islamic Center in Baltimore, United States on Wednesday. After 7 years in power, his visit is the first one of President Obama to the mosque in his own country. It wasn't the first time for President Obama coming to the mosque. During his visit to Indonesia and Egypt, he was invited to visit mosques. White House spokesman Josh Earnest said that President Obama would like to emphasize the importance of religious freedom for all people, including the Muslims of America. In a speech before the American Muslim figures in Baltimore, President Obama spoke about the image of American Muslims that is often misinterpreted. He also highlighted the rhetoric speech in the U.S. presidential election campaign lately, which is considered unwarranted and should not happen. He described a series of actions that discredit Islam towards children and women. These actions do not reflect Americans. Apparently, this speech was addressed to the rhetoric of U.S. presidential candidates from the Republican camp as Donald Trump, who wants to ban Muslim immigrants, and Ted Cruz, who recommends the entry of immigrant Christians. President Obama recognizes that American Muslims had been blamed for actions of a group of people on the name of Islam. The negative speech towards Islam is widely circulated in the United States, especially those who fight in the process of screening candidates for President of the United States. Candidates from the Republican camp tend to dislike Islam and incorporate this trend in their campaign speech. Such speech makes President Obama upset. Who will be the presidential candidate representing the Republican and Democrat? The process started from caucus in the state of Iowa early this week, followed by 12 Republican presidential candidates and 3 candidates from the Democratic Party. From Iowa caucus, interim results are likely to Republican Ted Cruz, a senator from Texas, rather than Donald Trump. While from the Democrat, Hillary Clinton claimed to win by a neck among her opponents. This result is still temporary. Who will continue to advance as a candidate from Republican and Democrat is still beyond. History shows that in 1992, the Iowa Democratic Party caucus was won by Tom Harkins. However, the National Convention of Democratic Party chose to nominate another candidate, Bill Clinton, who then beat senior George Bush. Indeed, the American presidential elections are still about 8 months to come. who are the possible candidates for the Republic and Democrat Party is still a big question. That's Donald Trump or Ted Cruz or Hillary Clinton. The speech of Republic Party that is less friendly to Islam can of course make the relationship between Islam and America enter a gloomy period. But there is no guarantee if the Democrat wins, the relationship between Islam and Islamic countries will automatically in harmony. President Barack Obama, who is pro the Democratic Party and still has a blood descendant of Islam, is not easy to restore relationship with Islamic countries. The explosion of ISIS, which was allegedly engineered by Western countries since the past 2 years, has made the world situation, especially the Middle East, getting more worsened. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from this day in the past, as recorded in history. We start on February 5, 1933, the Seven Province Ship Tragedy. Seven Provincial Ships Event, or Seven Provincian, was uprising tragedy aboard the Dutch Seven Provincian naval ship off the coast of Sumatra. The cause of the uprising for the decision to lower the salaries of India's government employees by 17% announced on January 1, 1933. The decrease in employee salaries was an attempt by the Dutch government to reduce the budget deficit due to the economic depression that swept the world at that time. However, the decision got a great challenge of all parties, both employees of European nationals, Indonesia and Eurasia in the Dutch East Indies. Rebellion on board the Seven Provincian overcome by bombing the ship by the Dutch Navy aircraft. On February 5, 1947, the establishing of Islamic Students Association. Before the establishment of the Muslim Students Association, it was firstly foreign student organization called the United Students of Yogyakarta in 1946, which consists of students from three universities in Yogyakarta, namely Sekolah Tinggi Teknik, or the College of Engineering, Sekolah Tinggi Islam, or Islamic College, and Balai Perguruan Tinggi Gajah Mada, or the Higher Education Council of Gajah Mada, which at that time only had the Faculty of Law and the Faculty of Letters. Religious aspirations as well as price signals not a compelling reason for the Students of Islam founded the student organization that stands separate from the United Students of Yogyakarta. Therefore, on February 5, 1947, on the initiative of Lafran Pane, along with 14 other students, formed a new organization, namely the Muslim Students Association. The association was born on the condition of the nation at that time were struggling to maintain independence. As cadre-based organization and struggle, the organization also proved to have brilliant quality cadres so as to fill some important posts in the government and also adds to the national political scene. We conclude today's segment of Today in History with an event on February 5, 1979, the issue of the decree of Iranian interim government formation. Imam Khomeini issued a warrant for the establishment of the interim Islamic government of Iran. In the warrant, Imam Khomeini explained the objectives and programs of the Islamic revolution, and the interim administration was asked to try to achieve these goals. The main objective is the formation of an interim government to hold a referendum to determine the country's political system, the implementation of the elections,
the formation of Constitution Council and the election of the first Muslim member of parliament. Meanwhile, the regime imposed a martial law situation, and the remnants of the regime supporters held demonstrations against the establishment of an Islamic government. In contrast, the majority of Iranians continued to hold massive demonstrations in various parts of the country, demanded the dissolution of the Shah regime and the establishment of Islamic rule. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Listener, welcome back to Focus. Today's edition will take you to talk about Indonesian government accelerating the revocation of troubled regional regulation. To accelerate the development of and cope with economic slowdown, Indonesian government will revise and revoke the regional regulation impeded the economic activities. At least 3,000 regional regulation have been reported troubled and impeded the regional development. Therefore, President Joko Widodo asked Indonesian Home Affairs Ministry to revoke all troubled regional regulation. Related to the matter, Home Affairs Minister Cahyo Kumolo said the ministry targeted all regional regulation of impeded investment and bureaucracy will be revoked or revised by the middle of the year. Head of Legal Office of Home Affairs Ministry, Widodo Sigit Pujianto, said next week, the Home Ministry will immediately issue instructions to the entire regional heads to report problematic rules. With the proficiency instruction, the troubled regional regulations might be revoked by the central government. Widodo Sigit Pujianto said, since the Law No. 32/2009 about the regional government is revised to become the Law No. 23/2014, mentioned the central government can immediately cancel the troubled regional regulations. Previously, the central government only has authority to clarify the troubled regional regulations by asking the regional government and DPRD to repairing it, then to be handed over to the central government. General Chairman of the Association of Indonesian Regional Government, Mardani Maning, admitted there are still many overlapping regulations caused by the previous regional government's regulation. However, he rejected the issue is the regional head's trick to get additional funds. Meanwhile, member of Human Rights Commission, Natalius Pigai, asked the Home Ministry to revoke discriminative regional regulations. According to Pigai, with the new legal instruments about the regional government, there is no longer the reason for the government to not revoke the regional regulations that violate human rights. Chairman of Women National Commission Azriani said West Java, West Sumatra, East Java, South Kalimantan, and South Sulawesi are the regions with the most discriminative regulations. That was today's focus.
Listener, here is the headlines of several national newspapers published today, February 5, 2016. We begin with Media Indonesia, which wrote, "Maintain investment climate." The note encouraging Indonesian economy last year is slowly improving. This was indicated from several positive facts in the beginning of the 2016, which made national businessmen optimistic. Indonesian Coordinating Investment Board or BKPM data of January 2016 showed a significant increase in the investment commitment amounting to 119%, worth 206 trillion rupiah. Even there was a foreign investor who bought the government bonds worth 20 trillion rupiah, as well as the stock index. CIMB Niaga CEO Tigor M. Siahaan expected the stakeholders to be fully aware in maintaining the investment climate, because various global issues can come anytime. Siahaan hoped the tax amnesty policy to be published to improve the economy. Meanwhile, Indonesian Employers Association or APindo Vice Chairman Suryadi Sasmita supported the tax amnesty plan. Meanwhile, in the newspapers wrote, "World unites against Zika." South American countries united to fight against the spread of Zika virus. Yesterday, February 4th, region's health ministers had an emergency meeting to overcome the epidemic, which is potential infecting millions of Americans. The meeting held in Montevideo, Uruguay, will focus on controlling the spread of Aedes aegypti mosquitoes. In the meeting, they designed a common concrete step to stop the epidemic. Pan-American Health Organization, or PAHO, director, Athien, as quoted from the New York Times, said that the government must be more active in tracking the spread of Zika, as well as the complication it causes, such as microcephalus and Guillain-Barré syndrome. Athien invited the world to take effective measures to reduce the mosquito population. We move on to Republika. President Barack Obama names Muslim as a part of America. President Barack Obama on Wednesday, February the 3rd, visited the Mosque of Islamic Society of Baltimore in Maryland. This was his first public visit into the mosque in the country. Through the visit, Obama wanted to reaffirm that Muslim is an inseparable part of United States of America. He regretted abuse against Muslims, including the presidential candidate campaign of the Republican Party, which cornered the U.S. Muslim community. Obama emphasized the attack on Islam is attack on all religion. We end today's headline with Compass. Cities inequality jumps. Food price increased due to the increasing poverty. Income inequality in the city jumped. The condition was indicated by the increasing city Gini ratio from 0.43 in September 2014 into 0.47 per September 2015. The increase is seen to be caused by rapid urbanization. Executive Secretary of the National Team for the Acceleration of Poverty Reduction, or TNP2K, Bambang Widianto said the poverty rate from September 2014 to September 2015 had increased. This was followed by the worsening inequality, especially in the city. Regarding to the issue, Head of Demographic Institute, University of Indonesia, Sony Hari Budi Otomo Harmadi said, the increasing Gini ratio in the cities and decreasing in villages reflect the urbanization of poor people. Listener, that was the headlines.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
Here news in brief read by Rahmana. Presidential Special Advisor for Communication John Budi said that President Joko Widodo has ordered Attorney General Muhammad Prasetyo to settle the case entangling Corruption Eradication Commission investigator Novel Baswedan. Chairman of the House Commission 6, which oversees state-owned enterprises, Ahmad Hafiz Tohir, urged the government to reconsider his plan to join the U.S.-led Trans-Pacific Partnership TPP. The Surabaya City Service and Investment Coordinating Board, BECI PPM, have started one-stop integrated services to impart the public legal certainty about licensing services. Indonesian National Search and Rescue Agency Basarnas has strengthened humanitarian cooperation with neighboring countries. The agency chief, Bambang Sulistyo, said on Tuesday that humanitarian cooperation has become a significant commitment for all countries. With the deterioration of situation in Jerusalem, Special Aksha Mosque Area Organization of Islamic Cooperation, OIC, will hold an extraordinary summit on Palestine and Al-Quds Al-Sharif, or Jerusalem. In addition to holding the extraordinary OIC summit, Indonesia will also host the 2016 Bali Process in Bali on March. Archives and documentation of Asian African Conference, Bandung, from 18 to 24 April 2018. As you say, 1955 officially became a member of the World of United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization, UNESCO. The Indonesian Retail Association has agreed to start charging 200 rupiah for the use of plastic bag as a container at shopping centers to decrease plastic waste. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
You're still tuning in to the Voice of Indonesia, broadcasting daily from Jakarta. And listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. It is a great pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, art, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit Bali Province. Stay tuned. Listener, usually domestic and foreign tourists visiting the resort island of Bali spend their holidays at Kuta Beach or Ubud. Kuta is quite famous for its beautiful beaches. Ubud is known for art, culture, history, and beautiful nature. Besides Kuta and Ubud, Bali actually still has many other natural attractions, one of them, the Tegenungan waterfall. The waterfall is quite unique because it is the only waterfall in Bali which is located in the lowlands. While most of the waterfalls in Bali is located in mountainous or high plateau areas. The Tegenungan waterfalls are also known as Kemenuh waterfall because the location of the waterfall is located in Kemenuh village, Sukawati sub-district, Gianyar Regency. It is located 16 kilometers from Denpasar, capital of Bali province. From Denpasar, the waterfall can be reached for about 45 minutes by motor vehicle. The visit will only pay an entry ticket of 5,000 rupiah for local tourists and 10,000 rupiah for foreign tourists. Once entering tourism site, you can see views of the Tegenungan waterfall and rivers around it from the above, precisely from the parking area. To reach the Tegenungan waterfall, from the parking lot, you have to get down passing the 144 stairs about 5 minutes. Your fatigue will soon disappear because seeing the sights around the waterfalls that are beautiful and surrounded by green trees. When you arriving at the waterfall area, you will pass through sections of the river with natural rocks to get to the center of the waterfall. Listener, the Tegenungan waterfall has a height of 15 meters and also clean and clear water. The waterfall comes from Tukat Petanu River. For those who want to shower, there are provided bathing facilities and water shower. Besides bathing and under the waterfall, there is something quite extreme which can be done by tourists when visiting the Tegenungan, such as jumping from the top of the waterfall. Previously, they had to climb to the top of the waterfall by climbing a hill on the outskirts of the waterfall. However, to make the leap, you must be accompanied by a guide for your staff. The Tegenungan waterfall also appropriate to be visited by those who like photography. Some corners of the site are suitable to be used as photo locations. Listeners, the Tegenungan waterfall is equipped by various facilities. Some simple food stalls that selling a variety of food and soft drinks. Likewise, for lodgings can easily be found around this area. After you come to Tegenungan, don't forget to visit Sukawati Art Market. The location of the Tegenungan waterfall is very close to the location of Sukawati Art Market. In the market, you can buy a wide variety of typical Balinese souvenirs which are sold cheaply. If you are good at bargaining, you'll get a bargain price for typical souvenirs of Bali. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Tegenungan Waterfall, and we will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. See you again and sampai jumpa. Thank you.
Mr. Lenny.
Mr. Lenny on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello, VOI listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Miscellany with me, Rahma. Today, we present you the story of Bubu. Listener, various ways are used to catch fish, such as by using hands, spear, net, long line, and fish trap. This term is not only for fish, but also for other sea animals. There is connection between effectiveness of fish catching methods and knowledge of fish and its behavior, like fish migration, how fish look for food and its habitat. Because the way of catching fish to get satisfying result depends on the species and habitat. Fish catching has been done for a long time. According to history, about 100,000 years ago, Neanderthal men have caught fish by using hands. It then developed gradually into the using of various traditional tools made of wood, bone, and horn. Indonesian people have particular ways to catch fish. If you have come to Indonesia, you might have seen fishermen catch fish by using net. The method is often used by Indonesian fishermen. However, there is another way to catch fish, which is by using fishing tool called bubu. Bubu is a static catching tool, usually in the form of cage. Fish is trapped to go in it without force, and it is hard to go out. Bubu can be put on the bottom of waters, surface of waters, river with strong flow, and tight area. Bubu has various shapes like rectangle, trapezium, or cone. Bubu is made of various material, such as thread, wire, rotten, and bamboo. Its shape is usually based on the fish that will be caught. However, the different shape of bubu depends on the habit or knowledge of the user. Bubu uses bait to attract fish to eat the bait. It cannot go out and it is finally trapped inside. At first, bubu was used in fresh water such as river, reservoir, irrigation channel, and swamp. Now, bubu is also used on the sea. Tradition of catching fish by using bubu is then performed in a dance called Bubu Dance from Bengkulu Province, Sumatra Island. The dance, which uses bubu as property, tells about the life of people in Bengkulu who is close to marine life. People in this area uses environmentally friendly trap to catch fish. This dance also gives a message to humans that they are allowed to take natural products, but in the right way, to keep natural balance. Well, VOI listener, that ends today's miscellany on the story of bubu. I'm Rahma, thanks for listening.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, back with me, Rahma, in our regular segment, Music Corner, which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. You can listen to the program through shortwave frequency at 9525 kHz, and also through streaming at voi.co.id or english.rriworldservice.com. Today's edition presents you an Indonesian dangdut male singer, Ridho Roma. To begin our program, let's listen to a song by Ridho Roma entitled Dewa Amor or God of Love. Happy listening.
Amor, dewa amor, kau sungguh ternama dalam dunia cinta. Karena engkaulah dewanya asmara. Amor, dewa amor, namamu abadi dalam setiap hati. Hati yang sedang jatuh cinta.
Like other musicians, Ridho Roma has a dream to go international through his works. However, the struggle of Ridho is hard enough because of his father, Roma Irama, the king of dangdut. Ridho revealed that Roma Irama has composed hundreds of songs and everything has been brought up. That's why Ridho is confused what to write, because his father has written all things. To be equal with his father is difficult. Nevertheless, Ridho is sure that there will be a way for him to a higher level of success. All right, listener, now let's enjoy another song by Ridho Roma entitled Dawai Asmara or String of Love. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Listener, the song that you just listened, Dawai Asmara, tells about someone who is longing for affection from a lover. Ridho Rhoma, whose complete name is Ridho Rhoma, I should say Muhammad Ridho Rhoma, was born in Jakarta, January 14, 1989. Ridho started following his father's path in dangdut music in 2009. When he formed a band which carries pop dangdut genre named Sonet 2. The song Menunggu, cover song of Rhoma Irama, is rearranged into pop dangdut. It became one of hits in the country. In 2013, Ridho Rhoma received 2 awards in the Indonesia Music Awards. His success proves that he can get separated from his father's shadow. The awards encouraged him to develop dangdut music in the country. Well, listener, to end our program, here are two dangdut songs by Ridho Roma entitled Menunggu or Waiting and Penyakit Cinta or Love Sickness. Enjoy the songs and I'll see you again in another edition of Music Corner.
Terima kasih.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.go.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Buang saja masalahmu, janganlah ragu-ragu ikut bersamaku. Bukalah mata, lihat dunia dan sadarilah, tiada guna hidup selalu berduka cita. Mari bergembira, gembira bersama. Mari bergembira bersama. Buang saja masalahmu, janganlah ragu-ragu ikut bersamaku. Bukalah mata, lihat dunia dan sadarilah, tiada guna hidup selalu berduka cita. Mari bergembira, gembira bersama. Mari bergembira bersama. Kawanku, biarkan pilu yang di hatimu menjauh. Jangan kau biarkan risau buat hidupmu jadi kacau. Bebaskan rasa keluh dan kesah di dalam jiwa. Jangan kau menyerah, meraih masa depan cita bahagia. Buang saja masalahmu, janganlah ragu-ragu ikut bersamaku. Bukalah mata, lihat dunia dan sadarilah, tiada guna hidup selalu berduka cita. Mari bergembira, gembira bersama. Mari bergembira bersama.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia at en.voi.co.id.